We'll focus your attention. We'll start in verse number 9 and read down through verse number 12. I've titled the message this morning, Be What You Are. Be what you are. 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good word of God. Thank you for the powerful work of the Spirit that makes it alive and real and brings it to us as individuals. We thank you, Lord, for the great power of thy word and for its great message. And we thank you, Father, that the Spirit of God will make it real to those who will have ears to hear and a heart to listen. For God, you will manifest yourself unto them if they will seek thy face in truth. Lord, help us today that we might worship in truth and spirit, that, Father, we might open our hearts to receive. God, that we might have ears to hear the precious word of God and behold thy promises. God, we come today and ask you now to work in our midst. We'll thank you and praise you. Jesus' precious name. Amen. Be what you are. To many, in conversation, attitude around life, we experience people who think that salvation is no more than just being saved from the wrath to come. And to some people, take the attitude, or at least manifest it, that hey, you know, I'm not going to hell, and that's all that matters. And they look at a confession of faith as simply being the end of the road, the end of the journey, having accomplished the task, and it becomes the end of their desire. But we find here that Peter, by the Holy Ghost, is trying to awaken the brethren up to realize some things. And that great message has been that we are born again, we are born for glory. That's his message. That when we put our faith in Christ, that is the beginning, not the ending. That there is much more to come, and there's more to it. Now, I am thankful today that because of the gospel of Christ and the promise given to us, that when we call upon Christ as our Savior, thank God, I am delivered from the wrath to come. And I do rejoice in that every day. But I realize that salvation, that being born again, being saved, is the beginning of a new life. And we have that illustrated throughout here in 1 Peter. We see that in 1 Peter, we saw in chapter 2, he tries to illustrate what this Christian life is and this salvation of God. And so he tells us about babes. And we saw in chapter 2 that he's relating to us that being a saved person, when a person gets saved, he is like a babe. And what does he desire? Something to eat. Okay, that pretty much sums it up, doesn't it? I mean, that's the whole sum and total of a baby's life. Perhaps maybe a little bit is to be held. But primarily, it's to eat. And quite often. And so, he's relating the fact that when a person is born again, when he is saved, if his faith is real, he has a desire for the Word. Okay, are y'all listening? He has a desire. Like a babe desires milk, a new Christian desires the Word. Okay? And so, it's just part of this supernatural process of being born again. That's what we desire. I want to know more about this Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to know more about God and what He said. I want to know more about heaven. I want to know more about things that are going to come. And so, it is fascinating, it is interesting, it is life-changing, and so listen, just as a babe grows through that milk, we begin to grow in the Lord and we get stronger and stronger and stronger, realizing that God is real and that, listen, His Word is true and that we can depend upon Him, that He will save us, that He will help us, that He will bless us, that He will answer prayer, that He will keep His Word, that He will be His friend. And so we learn more and more that He is real and this book is true. And so he illustrates that. Then he goes on and talks about that we are like a building of God, a temple, a spiritual temple. That is, that we are being built up and raised up for His glory. And so we are as lively stones. We are connected to the foundation, Jesus Christ. He's the cornerstone. And the Bible here illustrates for us something unusual about this building. That cornerstone, listen, is a living stone. Not a dead, dry stone, but a living stone. And then we are placed on it. And because of our union, our connection, because we have contact by faith, because we've joined ourselves, we become lively stones. Because He's communicating to us. Now, what's the purpose of the stone? Is to secure for us a foundation to build a life for His glory. And what is so wonderful about that, and what thrills me about that, as we preached last time, was the fact that that foundation is what keeps us standing tall and standing true and standing straight for His glory. How does He do that? He communicates to us. He's alive. And we are alive. And so, when I start leaning this way, you know what God does? He straightens me up. Some of y'all need some straightening today. A little crooked, a little off balance, leaning the wrong direction, the Word of God, He'll straighten you back up. Some of you a little weak today. Now you got to hold up your end. He communicates strength to you. Feel like the load's too heavy to bear? He communicates strength to you. Because He's a living foundation, He's able to make adjustments for whatever comes in life. Man, I tell you, when I got a hold of that, I about had a fit. Maybe one of these days y'all get lively enough that'll catch hold of you. Amen. The earth's ever changing, right? It's ever changing. Stuff's coming up from the ground. Things are moving. Look at it, not only material, physically and geographically and what's the right term? Earth's crust. Geologically, thank you. Thank God for school teachers. Geologically, the earth's always changing. But in the spiritual world and in our lives, things are always changing, right? Always changing. And you know what the Lord does? He makes the proper adjustment. If it weren't for the Lord, you know what happened? We'd topple over. We'd fall. But He makes the adjustment. And so He says, listen, that's what God does when a saved person, listen, he faces the same troubles anybody else does, but he's got a foundation that makes the adjustment whether it goes through in life. And so, when we hit sorrow, listen, I'm overcome like the world is because I'm being fed the strength and the grace of God. When I hit trouble and hardship and trial, it doesn't cut me as deep as it does others. Why? Because I have a foundation that feeds me His strength. Listen, when I don't understand, know what to do, thank God I'm connected with Him. He is my wisdom when I falter and fail and stumble. He is my righteousness. And so I'm standing upon Him. He communicates everything I need that I might stand tall for His glory. Others might inquire, listen, how are you able to get through this? I'm standing on foundation. A living cornerstone, and my union with Him, He's what keeps me going. Keeps me straight, keeps me smiling, keeps me happy, listen, keeps me right, keeps me strong because of that foundation. And now, Peter comes over in verse number 9, and he begins to impart to the believer, listen, the great purpose of God. He illustrates like a babe, and like a lively stone in a building. Now he comes and he begins to reveal that you are a people of God. He states that in verse number 10, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. That is, when you got saved, you became of God. That word of is a powerful word. It means to proceed out from. It also means to be a partner with. Also means to possess. And so he's telling us that, listen, when we got saved, listen, all of a sudden we have a new life that came out from God. God imparted a new life. Salvation is not just a simple confession where you tell God you're a sinner. Listen, it's when you call upon Christ and you receive Him. You are receiving the life and death of Christ, and Jesus comes in, and listen, you become a new creature, and it's proceeded out of God. And so a saved person, according to the authority of the Bible, can call the Creator his Heavenly Father. If you're not saved, you don't have that right. You may claim it, but it's not yours. We can now call Him our Heavenly Father because we are born not of men, but we're born not of angels, we're born of God. God placed that new life in you. Salvation is a miracle of God, not a reformation where you decided one day, you know what, I'm just going to turn over a new life and be a different person. It ain't going to happen. You ain't going to last. It's not man's work, God's work. What will keep you strong, what will keep you faithful, what will keep you true, listen, is God doing the work. Okay? And so we are proceeding out of God. And so now he's illustrating for us that we're people of God. Now notice here what he begins to reveal about God's purpose. Now hey, this is not just the preacher or the missionary or the evangelist. This is every child of God. Every person who's saved, he's trying to impart to us what God wants to do with your life. In essence, he's saying, this is what you are. Now be what you are. He begins and illustrates for us, you are, notice verse number 9, a chosen generation. A chosen generation. The word generation, we know generate. Listen, it means to come from one parent. You remember back when God called Abraham? And God appeared to Abraham and told him, I want to make of thee a great nation. And he said, listen, I want you to leave everything behind. And I want you to come and follow me and I will lead you. And here's what I'm going to do. I am going to make a great nation of you. And listen, through you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And what we find unfolding is that Abraham's great nation was not just a biological seed of children, but it's what Abraham passed down to them. Listen, in testimony, Abraham established the generation of a seed of faith. It was faith in God that Abraham was to pass down. Now, we find the New Testament Jesus revealed that some people claimed all of the privileges of Abraham because biologically they went back to him. But Jesus made it clear that the true Israel was of the seed of Abraham, that is, of his faith. That what he's talking about is a great nation of people who are known as of faith in God. That is, Abraham was called out of darkness. He was called out of idolatry and immorality to come and separate himself to God and to walk by faith. And so God started him out. And listen, he left everything behind. And God said, I want you to go. And so he started traveling. He didn't know where he was going. He just knew God said, this is where I want you to go. Abraham started a generation of people who simply trusted God and they walked accordingly. That is, whatever God told them to do, that's what they did. And so, he relates to us here that we are a chosen generation. What is that generation? Listen, it is the people of God who walk by faith. That's the distinction. That is what this nation is. It is a people who walk by faith. And here's what God told Abraham. Because he believed God, God counted it for righteousness. You know something the Bible makes clear? Nobody in this room or in this world is righteous. Nor could we be. Because the standard of God is perfection. So we can forget that. But God made provision for us. And listen, here's what he said. Listen, the just shall live by faith. We studied in Sunday school. And that is, God said, when you put your faith and trust in me, I will count it as being perfect. I will count it as righteousness. Because Abraham foreshadowed and did see there would come a great Redeemer, a man sent from God who would fulfill all righteousness, and that He would represent us, and that as we trusted in Him, listen, He would bring about this full salvation, having purchased it on the cross of Calvary when He shed His blood to pay the debt of our sin. And so we are a generation of people, and how are we known? How does God want you to be known? He wants you to be known as people who walk by faith. Walk by faith. And so Peter's describing, if you're saved today, here's what you are. You are people who walk not by the flesh, not by sight, but you are people who walk by faith. That is, that you simply believe God. And the world may say, that is not the truth, that is not the way, that is not how, but we believe, yes it is, because God has said so, and so we walk according to what God has said and not what the world said. And we follow the Spirit of the living God as He directs us, rather than the spirit of the world and the desires of the flesh. Notice number two. He said you are also a royal priesthood. That is, that you are both kings and priests. Revelation 1:6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father, and Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, the kingly portion is that spirit of dominion over the flesh and the bondage of sin. God wants you to behave kingly. Not going around giving orders. That's not what we're talking about. He's talking about a dignity and character whereby God has enabled you to walk on higher ground so that you are not subject and in bondage to the things that are enslaving and destroying the lives of people. And so God, listen, has given us liberty to become what He wants us to be. God has separated us from the bondage. He's broke the chains of sin that hold us. And now He has enabled us. He's enabled us to know Him. He's enabled us to love Him. He's enabled us to understand the Word of God. And so, listen, God said, I have made you and given you a spirit of dominion over the flesh, over the world, over the bondage, that you might have victory in your life and be people who live above and walk on higher ground and have liberty to be what God wants you to be. That is, that you and I have the power of God to change. You know what? I have seen down through the years. Boy, I have seen people change. Woo! The power of God make a new person of them. And some of y'all can rejoice and say, thank God, I'm going to tell you, I am not what I used to be. Woo! God is the one that gives you power to change. Not the flesh. No, the flesh is a bondage. It's a ball and chain. But Jesus alone sets us free. And then He said, not only the royal kingly part, but also a priest. That is to become an intercessor. To offer worship and sacrifice as pleasing unto God. The priest represented the God to man and man to God. And you remember what happened to the priest? The priest was consecrated by the blood. That is, the blood, listen, sanctified him, that he was given the special privilege and ability to be used of God to represent the Lord. And you remember what God did? God took the blood of the sacrifice, put it on his earlobe. Then he put it on his thumb and on his big toe. And what that represented is the priest was anointed of God and consecrated that he might hear what God has said. That he might serve God and that service be acceptable unto the Lord. And that he might walk in the way of God. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says here that when a person is saved, God has called him to a royal priesthood. God has made it possible that when you offer something to Him, He will accept it. The world cannot do that. The world will not do that. Listen, they cannot do it. That's the reason when the world comes and they try to do things for God, God doesn't accept it. It's only through the blood, it's only through Jesus Christ that we have been given that anointing of the Lord, that our sacrifices and our labor and our praises and our worship might be accepted, that our prayers might be heard, and God has opened up heaven so that you can come to Him. And listen, you come and then God sends you with that anointing. You know what God does? God puts a spiritual weight to your words so they impact other lives. You know, that's something God gave you. God gave you power to impact people because He anointed you with a special power to put weight to the words you share. Listen, God's invested in you. You know that? He has invested in you and given you a privilege of access to Him and to His throne. Man, not only, listen, for our personal needs, but our intercession unto God for others. You know what? Listen, God has an ear toward your prayers and hears everything you pray. You know why? Because of the blood of Christ, when you receive Christ, you're anointed. Your service to God. You know what? There are people all the time who try to purchase their salvation. And listen, they want to get merits and they want to, listen, to get brownie points. They want to somehow appease God, and so they make offerings. You know what? God doesn't accept them. They're unacceptable to God. But listen, when the blood's been applied, God will take your dollar, He will transform it, and listen, He will sanctify it, and He will transform it into having the eternal benefit as it goes out in the sharing of the gospel around the world. You see, you and I, we who as believers, we are a royal priesthood. Notice the third one, a holy nation. The great exodus of the people of Israel out of Egypt. You remember Moses went in to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go that they might serve me in the wilderness." And so Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord that I should obey Him?" Boy, did he find out. He found out that the God of Israel was the creator of heaven and earth. And He there finally turned the people loose, and they went to worship Him as a separated people. And God separated them and gave them a distinction. And that distinction was that they operated not on the laws and wisdom of man, but they lived their life, in obedience to the law that God had sent from heaven. And so, listen, their distinction here is that the authority for life was not man's, but it was God's. And so, when they went to live their lives, they lived it according to what God said and not what man says. And that gave them distinction of all people in the world. The Bible tells us that of all those commandments that were given, the two great commandments represent the purpose of those laws. One is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and the other is to love your neighbor as yourself. And all the laws hang upon those two things. In other words, everything the law instructed them to do was fulfilling either their love for God and or both their love for their neighbor. And so here was a distinct people who operated according to the laws of God. And this and that distinction, that holy nation was a people who loved God and they loved one another. There was a respect and there was a consideration and there was an honesty, there was a character, there was justice. All those things happened in this nation of people. Why? Because their distinction was that we have submitted ourselves unto obedience to the law of God instead of the law of man. So God separated them, and all the nations of the world, where self becomes the true God of worship, idolatry only simply is a smokescreen for self-worship. And we have in the world, what do we have? We have hate, We have cruelty, injustice, robbery, slavery, wickedness. And God wanted to set in the midst of that a nation of holy people who love God and love their fellow man. Then notice, He also says here, you that are saved, if you're born again, if you're a Christian today, He said, listen, here's what you are. You are a peculiar people. Now that doesn't mean weird, though in some cases it seems to fit. And to the world, it may seem weird, but that's not the meaning of the word. After a slave had paid off his debt to free himself, everything above the debt was called a peculium. In other words, let's say I had worked for a man and I was indebted, and so I was basically an economic slave. And I had to earn $1,000 to pay that off. Now, if I had earned $1,200 and I paid the $1,000, the law protected that $200. It's mine. He can't take it. Even though I worked for him, anything above the debt that was owed, listen, was mine by right of law. And that was protected by the law, and it was called a peculium. And so the law attached the property rights, and that is, it protected him. You know what God is saying to us here? That you are God's private property, and you belong to Him and no one else. That you are God's redeemed people, that you are a purchased people. And could I put it in this sense? You know what God is saying? Hey, these people that are saved, that are born again, that are Christians, they're mine. They're mine. Devil can't have them, and the world can't have them. They're mine. And so God, listen, has claimed you for His own particular treasure. And listen, you're precious in the sight of God as His possession. Jesus prayed in John 17, I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. All mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now notice, put all this together, and as He relates to us why all these things we are, it comes down to a purpose. Look what He says in this verse. That ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has equipped you and enabled you and called you to all these things for the purpose of glorifying His name, of showing forth the excellencies of God, of mirroring those excellencies of the great God in whom we serve. The desire of God to communicate Himself, listen, is not a perverted jealousy, but it's a holy jealousy, because if men do not see the greatness and glory and goodness of God, they are destined for eternity without Him, and they'll spend forever in hell. And so they need to see that He is great, that He is glorious. They need to understand that He is the great Savior, and that He has a desire to give life, and life more abundantly. And if they don't see it, they're lost. And so God said, I want them to see it, and I want you to shine it. I want you to mirror the excellencies of God. And so God said, these things are yours. I'm going to give you an illustration. We'll close. I read many, many years ago. I wished I'd have kept it. It's a fascinating story about a missionary. He went to some tribal people in Brazil. And as he was there, it was rough. It was very rough. And he was daily concerned for his life. And so they gave him a name as he became more and more acquainted with the language and more able to communicate. He asked one of them, what is the meaning of what they call me? And he said, it just simply means white man. And they explained that all their previous dealings with white men had not gone well. That they had been lied to, deceived, stolen from, tricked, and all kinds of things. Said, so it is not a respected term. And so he said, well, I thank you for clearing that up. So he worked with them there, and he was there for several months. Began trying to minister them the gospel, trying to help them. Got in there and worked with them. And so after a while, he noticed that they no longer called him by that name. And so he pulled one aside. He said, you know, they've changed the name for me, and everybody didn't call me the same thing. Could you give me the interpretation? What does that mean? And so what he was able to gather was, it was a respected white man, one that could be trusted. And so he went on to minister for some time, and a year or two had passed. And he began to learn their customs, and anything that they did that didn't violate the Scriptures, he just kind of fell in and did a part too, and just got himself mixed in there and just began to try to help them and be a part of them. And so they changed his name again. The same process, he inquired about the name change, and they called him a white Indian. But as he spent out his life there, there was a man who was his biggest enemy in the tribe, who hated him, sought to undermine him, try to lead the people against him and turn them away from his message of the gospel. One day that man was badly injured, had sliced his foot. The missionary had come, found out about it, and went. He went and got all the equipment he could, and he began to wash that man's feet and treat that wound. Put some medicine on it. And they all stood there watching in disbelief. And finally, after that, the man was healed, began to improve. He noticed they changed his name again. He asked them, what's the meaning of the name? Here was the meaning of the name. The man God sent us. The man God sent us. He went from white man to respectable white man to white Indian to the man that God has sent us. When they saw him care and minister to the man who was his biggest enemy, they now had changed his name. The man that God has sent us. You know who you are? You're the man that God has sent the world. The Bible says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Verse 10, he says, but now ye are the people of God. Our great need today, for the most part, is simply to be what we are. To be what we are. That's what people need today. That's what our world needs. That's what our children need. That's what our neighborhoods need. That's what our families need. It's for those that are born again to be what you are. And then secondly, maybe some of you recognize, preacher, that's not what I am. Because I've never been born again. Remember here, Peter's illustrating for us the difference between somebody who believes in God, who believes that Jesus existed, who may even believe the story of Jesus. But there's never been a time when God dealt with your heart. And you realize that He's speaking to me. That I need to trust Christ as my Savior. That I need to be born again. That I need to be saved, that I need to call upon Him, that I need to put my faith in Him and ask Him to save me from my sin and save me from hell and come into my heart and change me and make a new creature of me for His honor and for His glory. Maybe that's you today. Say, preacher, boy, I feel it in my soul today. God deal with my heart. In just a moment, we'll have an invitation. I'd ask you to come, if you will. I'll kneel right here with you, and we'll just pray. You can call upon Jesus Christ and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior this day. And next time we sing, Oh Happy Day, you can sing it and mean it. Or God will wash your sins away. Christian friend, oh, there's a great need today in our world. Great need in our country. Great need in our community and our families. It's for those who call upon the name of Christ. Confess Him as Savior. God help us to be what we are.